Well, good morning. It's always a privilege, and gets me kind of nervous to be talking to such a nice big crowd, right? When I preach, I usually have like three families in front of me. They know me well. They come to my house. You're not ashamed of your friends or with your friends. And with so many of you, it's always shaky. But I'll try to do my best this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles, please to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And in Luke 14, I invite you to go to verse 26. And we're going to read from 26 to 33. Says, the word of the Lord says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Least haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulted whether he be able with 10,000, to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I humbly thank you for this opportunity of being here with his students. Lord, I beg you that you will use this useless servant, Father, that your word may shine through my deficiencies, Lord. Please, through your Holy Spirit, help me say what I need to say, and help the audience listen what they need to listen, Lord. Provide what I can't say, and prevent me from saying anything that I shouldn't say. Grant us, Lord, that through your word we may get to know you better. We may get to understand who we are in you, and how, Lord, we can be your disciples, really serve you, honor you, glorify you. For this is why you have called us, to be for the honor and praise of your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So in this section, I believe the key word we find is disciple, being a disciple, right? And I hope most of us here we would say, oh, you know, we're disciples. We are disciples of Christ, or at least we want to be disciples of Christ. Now, I won't ask you to raise your hand if that's not what you think or what you want, but I trust and I hope really from depths of my heart that that's your desire. To be a servant of Christ, to be a disciple of Christ. However, I think sometimes we fail to stop and think, what does it mean to be a disciple? Am I really doing this right? Am I really being a disciple? Or am I just saying that I'm a disciple? Is this a family tradition thing that we say we are disciples of Christ? Is this because of my church? Or is this a real internal decision that I have made for my life, for throughout time, for eternity? Because this is a decision for eternity, right? Is this a serious decision? And I think these verses are going to help us study this a little bit. And it seems very interesting to me. We started there in verse 26, and, you know, it says that if we don't hate our father and our mother and our wife and our children, that sounds pretty aggressive, doesn't it? Hate. I don't think the Lord was using this word hate to mean like, oh, I hate you, I don't want to kill you. It's not that type of hate, right? In my mind, when I read this, the hate is like when I go to a churrasqueria. Have you ever been to a churrasqueria? You've been to a churrasqueria, right? So, this is a Brazilian-type restaurant, and, of course, the good thing about the churrasqueria is the meat. This is an all-you-can-eat meat buffet. Always good. But they also have, normally, at least all the ones that I've been to, this very nice, very fresh salad bar. It's, you know, all those veggies, it's delicious. They're all fresh and you can see them juicy, it's colorful. And of course, the point of that is that you will go and see that and go and eat the salad, which is cheap, and then don't eat as much meat, right? So they're tricking you. Don't eat the salad. You want the meat, right? So when I go there, and I like vegetables, I like a good salad and with some dressing, and it's really good. I would say that in normal conditions, I love salad. But next to all that meat, salad, really, this is picanha, right? This is good meat. This is... So in that context, I hate those vegetables. And I think, not literally, but that's more or less the sense that the Lord is giving us here, right? It's not that we hate and despise and I'm going to destroy my parents. No, we love them in Christ. We love our family or friends in Christ. But next to Christ, next to the glories of knowing Him and having a close relationship with Him and the future that we see in eternity glorifying the Lord, next to that, our love for our parents, our love for our family, our love for our friends, our love for ourselves should be so small that it's pretty much hate. It's something that we will choose Christ every single time before every other thing. Right? It makes sense? Yes? That's okay. Yeah. I sometimes tell my classes that I want to put a little, one of those bubbly head things. So at least he will say yes when I ask. Are you paying attention? Yes. Okay, good. You need the feedback, right? So we love Christ in that way. Compared to everything else, Christ is superior. Christ is better. And then the next verse, it tells us, I was looking at the Spanish. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And again, bearing our cross, going on with our burdens, right? We take our cross daily and we follow the Lord. We take our limitations daily and we follow the Lord. We continue to move on regardless of what life throws our way. Right, that's in general the sense. But what I want to focus more this morning is on the next few verses, because it seems as if the Lord was talking about something, right? So being a disciple, and then it suddenly goes to building a tower and fighting a king. And then it will come back to talk about disciple. So, you know, if we look at these verses superficially, it may seem like they have no connection, but I think they have a very deep connection, and they show us what being a disciple means, and especially what we must think and the attitude we must have going into being a disciple, starting as a disciple. And that's why I think it's very important for us here in this setting with so many young people to consider these verses, because you're starting your life as a disciple. Even if you've been in a Christian family and saved since you were 6, now you are grown-ups. Now you're starting to actually live it. You have the responsibility of being a disciple. Now you are in charge of your life, right? So to speak, because we're going to see that the Lord is really in charge of your life. But you have the helm, and you need to surrender it. And if you don't surrender it, then that's when problems come around. So let's start focusing then on this few verses, and I have 3 points, of course, right? Baptist guy speaking about the word, 3 points needed to happen. I decided to name my first point a disciple, whatever the cost. So let's go here to verses 28 to 30. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Least happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, what does it, a tower and the cost of building it have to do with our Christian life? Well, may I suggest that this is a metaphor? We see here that the Lord starts saying then, again, I'll look at it in Spanish, for which of you? For, he's going to explain us this. He's going to give us an example. It's when we say, it's like this, right? You have a man that's building a tower. So this is a metaphor. What is the tower? And I submit to you that the tower is our Christian life. Our tower is ourselves, as we build ourselves as Christians to serve the Lord. So if we are, our Christian life is the tower, we are the tower, what are the costs? Well, the costs are also our life. My entertainment. My finances. My time with my family and friends, my friendships, those are the costs. So this verse then is telling us that if we are wise, we should consider, before building our Christian life, or as we start to build our Christian life, what are the costs of this life? What are the things that I have that I'm going to need to build that life? Because we cannot go through life without friends. We cannot go through life without our stuff, however many those may be. We cannot go through life without our family, our children, our parents, our wife. They're part of our life. Are we willing to put all of that in the service of building our Christian life? Am I willing to pay the costs of building a good Christian life? Right? Or what am I thinking of holding back? And what's going to be the result if I hold back? So imagine you're trying to build this tower and you have all these bricks, right? And I thought about bringing one of those, what do you call it? The little things where you need a Jenga, is that? But this is not flat, so I said, I'm going to put it in there. But imagine one of those things, right? So it's big here. We're going to build a tower. And we have our blocks. And then we take the block of Sunday morning. We put it down there. We take the block of Sunday afternoon. We put it down there. We take the block of Wednesday evening. We put it down there. And then someone wants to start a Bible study on Friday evening. And I take the block of Friday evening and I say, I don't want to put it in there. It's my Friday evening. I don't want to put it in the tower. I don't want to invest this in the tower. Right? Has that something like that ever happened to you? Maybe my school friends are in the tower because I go to a Christian school. Oh, but my work friends, those are mine. I don't want to put them in the tower. Is the metaphor starting to make sense? So as we are going to build this tower, which is our Christian life, which is our life in Christ, what are the things that we're going to put in there? And what are the things that we're really thinking of holding back? Are we holding back? Are you holding back? What about your entertainment? Your love life? Your maybe girlfriend, boyfriend, or what you hope will be a boyfriend, girlfriend? And with that, let me make a little parenthesis. It's not bad that you might like someone out in the world, but you need to see them first as a soul for Christ and then as anything else. Okay? So, you know, that person that comes to work with me, oh, he's a nice person. He's a soul for Christ. Win him for Christ. Once that happens, maybe the Lord will guide you to be together. Maybe. Maybe not. But see everyone as a soul for Christ, and then as any other possibility. It's going to prevent many heartaches. End of the parenthesis. So, what are we building our life? What are we putting in there? Are we willing to put all aspects of our life into that tower that we're building? It's very important to think about this. The Lord is asking us to think about this. And we continue then. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able to then with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. For this point, I've called it a disciple no matter the fears. This is war. This is talking us about war. War is a serious thing. It's a messy thing. I have great respect for those who have the courage to go to war. It's not something I would really like to do. I think I would be terrified of being in a battlefield. And I think this is more or less the idea here. Those things, that king that is coming to attack us, those troubles, those worries, those powers, let me just go to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I always have trouble with translating my verses from English to Spanish and vice versa. But we're fighting against spiritual forces, and our soul is in a constant battle. And there will be things that will frighten us. These things are frightening. You know? How am I going to support my family? What are others going to think about me at work if I say I am a Christian? What are my friends going to think of me? What are they going to think in Facebook if I post this? And we fight against these things. These are struggles that we have, fears that we hold, right? It's a constant battle for us. And there will be many in your life. They will take many forms. Temptation, right? Sickness. Sometimes there's sickness. And, you know, my wife and I, we talk about it many times. We are so thankful that our children are healthy. The Lord has kept them healthy, and they've gone through some small things, you know, the colds and everything, and some scares, but oh, sickness is such a frightening thing, isn't it? Those of you who have been seriously ill, you can testify that it is a difficult thing to be sick, very ill. But they're also very common. We face our fears every day, don't we? And we must be ready to face those fears. We must be prepared. How can we prepare for that? Well, what about Romans 8:31 and 32? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? That's a very good verse. I love it. Si Dios con nosotros, ¿quién contra nosotros? You see, I put some Spanish in there. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, of course, he's not saying all things as in a, I don't know, Rolls Royce or, you know, mansion in the hills. He's saying all things that we need, right? He'll give us what we need. He'll give you what you need. And we can rest in that. Because in our own strength, I'll tell you, when I've tried to battle my own fears by my own strength, very bad. Doesn't work. I need the Lord. I need Him so badly. I'm a weakling. But He is the Creator. He is powerful. He can sustain me. He's won the battle already. Right? He did it already. He won at the cross. He rose up from dead. He's won. We're in for the ride. But we need to be in the right. We need to be there. Right? We need to be willing to go there. So this verse is then talk about our willingness. Our willingness to fight our fear. Our willingness to keep moving forward no matter of the uncertainties of the future, because we are sure that the Lord knows what is in the future. So I don't trust in myself. I can't trust in myself. I'm too unreliable. But I can trust God. And He's going to get me through. Right? But I must be aware that the fight is coming. I must know that the fear is there. Have you ever gone to one of those scary houses things? Why is it so scary? What they do to the lights? They dim them, right? Can't see much. Why is it so scary? Because you don't know what's coming. You're waiting to see where someone will jump on you, right? Life can be like that. And if you don't let yourself trust the Lord, you will be going through life as if you were walking through one of those scary houses, scary haunted houses, whatever they call them. And you will be going afraid, just trying to see where the next thing is going to pop up and get you down and get you discouraged and, oh, I can't do this life anymore. Oh, I can't be a good Christian. Because you're not resting that the Lord knows where the exit is and He's taking you there. Doesn't matter what pops up. Yeah, it will startle us. But we must have the faith that the Lord is going to lead us out of the place. And He will. He will. He'll take you there. But we need to have that faith. We need to rest in Him. Right? Otherwise, we run the risk of suddenly finding ourselves saying, Lord, you know what? I wanted to be your disciple. I thought that I wanted to serve you, but this is not what I signed for. Can't do this anymore. Can't do this. Have you met a Christian who's gone through a phase like that? I have. It's very sad. Someone who said, no, this is not for me. I cannot do it anymore. I'm done with being a Christian. I'm done with serving the Lord. And sometimes they go even as far as saying, I'm done with God. I cannot believe that God would exist and have me go through all of this stuff. They have completely turned away. And the problem is, I think, and these verses seem to show me, that they didn't consider from the beginning, when they said, yes, I'm going to follow, yes, I'm going to move forward, I'm going to be your disciple, they weren't thinking that troubles would come or could come. They weren't prepared, and they weren't walking close to the Lord. So when the problems popped up, they felt overwhelmed. I hope that that hasn't happened to you. But if it has, the answer is in the Lord, in staying close, in holding yourself to the Lord. That's how we can move forward. Oof, time really goes fast. Then, third point, is a disciple who has surrendered it all. And we see verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So we go back to this idea that we need to give everything to the Lord, including our fears. We need to give our security to the Lord and know that he will take us through, right? But we may ask ourselves, you know, and once I was talking to a person I was trying to, or I was in the discipleship with him, and I was explaining all of this, you know, problems will come, and the Lord will help you, but Christian life is not just, you know, a field of roses. And he was saying, well, why did you tell me those bad things that could happen in Christian life? Why would you bring that up? And I think the Lord brings it up here because he loves us. You know, if he didn't love us, he would say, you know, just like car sellers, right? Oh, this is a great car. You need to buy this car. It's awesome. It's really fast. It's got all the latest stuff on it. Yeah, but you drive it for 200 miles and then the transmission starts failing and then the radiator starts leaking and you end up with a pile of metal in your driveway that you don't know what to do with. The Lord's not like that. He wants you to commit with your eyes open. He wants you to know what you're getting into. Otherwise, it's not from your heart. Otherwise, it's just a decision of the day, of the moment. He wants you to be decided. Yes, yes, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do whatever you want. I'm going to go wherever you want. I'm going to serve whoever you want. I am going to do your will no matter what. And the only way we can get to that point is if we are completely sure of what is going to happen. Because the Lord doesn't want us to come through Christian life and then have problems and have distractions and then go, oh no, I can't do this. He wants us to go in there with full eyes open and to know that he is with us every step of the way. He's going to bring us. He's going to guide us. But we need to walk it. We need to do it. We need to move and we need to surrender to him. So all my time, all my entertainment, all of my friendships, all that I do, all that I am, all that I fear is part of the tower. It's the Lord's. And I'm paraphrasing a song that I love a lot, changing the lyrics a little, if you would excuse me. Sorry, music people, if that's... But, you know, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am. I will be a faithful servant. I will give you everything I have, everything I own, everything I dreamed of having. Because I might not get it in Christian life. But it's worth it. Because next to the pleasures of Christ, all my dreams, all my stuff, all my time, it's like a cabbage next to a picanha. Christ wins every time, hands down. No discussion. There's no other way. There's no option, really. But we must go with open minds, with open hearts, with open eyes, and hold on to Christ. He'll get us through. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you once more for your word, your precious word that guides us, that teaches us about who you are and how we can walk life, Christian life, with you. Grant us, Lord, that we will hold fast to you. Guide us in every step. Take our worries, our preoccupations, our dreams, our thoughts. Use us, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.